Today we want to look at this thought. Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will be done. And then he taught, according to your faith, so be it unto you. If we can believe that the mountains can be moved, when we speak to them, we can move them. But it takes faith. You see, we have the authority and the anointing to speak to mountains and to demons to drive back darkness and minister to people. Our mission is to minister to people, not to get a bigger house or a bigger limousine, you know, a bigger limousine or a bigger vehicle. Our mission is to love on people, help people, bless people, show people the right way, let them see our light. And that's what Jesus meant when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things be added unto you. When the kingdom's first, then God can give you the house that you need, or the house he wants you to have. When the kingdom's first, he can give you the car. When the kingdom is first, he can do the things that you need to have done in your life. You see, as the kingdom advanced under the leadership of Jesus Christ, people were set free. And that's what this series of sermons is about. It keeps getting interrupted. Okay, you know, various things. Last week was Mother's Day, and the Lord told me, I want you to preach on mothers. And we know that is one of the most, that's something this country really needs, is to show greater love and respect for our mothers. Amen. Amen. In Luke 13:10, so this message, these messages are just to show us the mission of Jesus Christ, what his purpose was then, and what his purpose is now through us. Luke 13:10, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. Now, I use these miracles quite a bit in other sermons, but by marching through the Gospels here, I believe at the direction of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, just to see how Jesus went from one thing to another, defeating the devil, driving out demons and devils, helping the poor, open blinded eyes, and working his miracles to benefit people. Well, he was working miracles because he was God. He was working miracles, it says, because he was moved with compassion. And why did he come? Love and compassion. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This lady, whatever it was, had caused her to be bent double and could not straighten up at all. What caused her sickness or paralysis is plainly a spirit. It was a demonic spirit. Now, every sickness and every disease is not necessarily a direct cause of demons, but it can be. And if the Holy Spirit gives you direction and shows you it's a demon, you better take authority over it and tell it to get out and believe that you have that authority to speak to the mountain, speak to the demon. In verse 12, well, I don't believe you can speak to demons, but Jesus said you could. He told the disciples, he says, if you have faith as living as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, this demon, he's talking about a demon, you can say to this demon, move from here to yonder place, and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible to you. You know, we really need to base what we believe on the Word of God. You can't do that if you never read it. Verse 12, when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, now, Jesus did all that came to him, but sometimes in his mercy, he just reached out to other people. In this case, he called her to himself. You know, the Lord may be calling you today to help you and bless you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and fellowship with him, sup with him. So hear the voice of God. I believe he's calling some people to healing and health and deliverance right now. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, woman, you are freed from your sickness. He freed her from this problem and that was caused by a demon. So you see, Jesus says the law and the prophets, I'll read that in a minute, the law and the prophets prophesied until John, and after that, Jesus began his ministry of grace. He forgave sin and did not do animal sacrifice. Well, he operated on the Old Testament law. Well, if he did, he would have been offering animal sacrifices. He wasn't operating under the law. He was the grace of God. The Bible says so. Grace is every provision you need, and it's provided by faith. What did he teach? Faith, 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 faith. Remember the sermon God gave me on your work is faith? Your work is to get in the Word of God and build your faith. Your work is to get in a good church that preaches the Word of God and build your faith, not get in a church where they kill your faith every Sunday. You may tell you how bad life is. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began to glorify God. This is the New American Standard updated version, and I like to use them all and compare them all, but I always compare them all to the King James and to the Greek and Hebrew as much as I can. The Pharisees complained because Jesus did this on the Sabbath. Don't complain because we're painting the paint ground on Sunday. Amen. The ox is in the ditch. Jesus said, the ox is in the ditch. Verse 16, and this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, this was by today's standards, a Christian. She was a daughter of Abraham. She was a child of God. A devil had attacked her. Well, I'm a Christian. The devil can't attack me. But he's already attacked you with that false information. Okay, that is false. He can't attack you. And he will. From Satan, says, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom the Father God bound her up so she'd learn a lesson. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? Then why do we say stuff like that? Because the devil's put that stuff in her head. In many cases, you use preachers. And I'm just showing you what Jesus did. You can believe whatever you want to believe. But remember one thing, I'm always right. A daughter of Abraham, and it says, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years. And what was he saying? The Pharisees were saying, couldn't this have waited one more day? And he says, no. She's been sick long enough. Amen. Get that. It's right there in your Bible. I've been there all the time. whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from the bond on the Sabbath day? He's saying, no, it could not wait one more day. 18 years is long enough. How long have you been putting up with your problem? Let's just believe it's been long enough. And believe God. I don't plan on laying hands on anybody for prayer unless they come up to me after church. And I will do that if I'm asked to. If you'll believe that, you won't need my hands. Yay. It's long enough. God wants you free. And at least he can give you a word. It's already done. Now, sometimes there is a season. Can you say amen? And you got to be patient. God wants, you can see from Jesus, he wants us healthy and well and blessed. Who bound this woman? Satan. Was she a Christian by our standards? Yes, she was a daughter of Abraham. You see, we're preaching through the miracles of Jesus Christ so we can see his purpose. And if you can see what his purpose was when he got here, he has the same purpose today. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Preachers have changed who we believe he is, but the Word of God still pictures the same Son of God going about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Amen. In Luke chapter 17, verse 12, as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices saying, Master, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, he didn't lay hands on them or anything else. There was another time he actually touched a leper. He wasn't afraid of it. And I'm not afraid of things either. Can you say, that's the way it ought to be? I had people want me to pray for COVID. I wasn't afraid of COVID. The only problem is they tried to quarantine me for 2 weeks so I couldn't do my job. So I had to kind of stay away, but I wasn't afraid of it. Go and show yourselves to the priest. What'd that mean? It meant the and it's in the Word of God, the Old Testament, is that if someone had leprosy, they couldn't just go back in the community. They had to go to the priest and let him verify they had been healed. So Jesus told these guys, go to the priest and let him verify you have been healed, and they still had leprosy all over them. But they knew what he meant. And they knew it was, you're healed. Go show the priest that you're healed. And as they went, even though they had leprosy all over them, do you have enough faith to believe the Word of God when God speaks to you? Well, I'm still sick. Well, what's the Holy Spirit saying? Does he say you're sick? And as they were going, they were cleansed as they went. So if you know God has touched you, what I say is don't do anything dangerous, but put your pants on and get moving. Now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, I never read this, but I felt like the Holy Spirit said, you read this today. Now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, at the feet of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to him. See, this man gave thanks. When God works a miracle for you, do you give thanks and tell people about it, or do you forget it and say, oh, I missed a bullet on that one? Man, that one almost got me. Or do we say, hey, God worked a miracle here? And I'm not talking to you right now. I'm talking to me. God could work the greatest miracle for me, and I go right on like nothing happened. And I've been rebuking myself. You've got to be more grateful. You've got to be more thankful. I'm working on it. How about you? When Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? You might be wondering, well, did all 10 get healed? All 10. If it wasn't Father God's will to heal all, why didn't he at least not heal one? Healed all 10. And Jesus said so right there. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Now he wants to know why we don't come back and give thanks. Not only to him, but publicly. We're here to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness. The law of the new covenant is the same. It's faith. There's a law of faith. You have got to believe in Jesus to be saved. You got to believe in Jesus and his word to get healed and delivered and have miracles in your life. The law that we live by is not all the legalism of the Old Testament. We live by the law of faith. If it's not of faith, we need to get in line with faith, whatever the word teaches. Amen. Amen. Luke 16:16. Here's where the series comes from. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Do you see that? Until John means what? Until John. The law and the prophets. Until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God, the new covenant, is being preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. Who said that? Jesus Christ. Who was teaching the good news? Jesus Christ. He wasn't teaching, put your faith in the law. He said, put your faith in me. Your work is to believe on the Son of God whom the Father has sent. That's what he said. That's your work. And you say you have to work at it. Well, you work at it in the sense you get in the Word of God and believe the Bible. You got to do something. Have faith. And I'm amazed that people say, well, just have faith. Just have faith. You can't just have faith. You have to have a reason to believe something. You have to have a reason. And the reason we can believe God is his word. Amen. And his character. And I've heard all my life people say things like, well, I know he could if he wanted to. I know he could help me if he wanted to. If one of your children said that to you, what would you say? You'd get upset. What do you mean if I want to help you? You know I want to help you, you little sweet thing. You can see we had kids. I think it's an insult to God to say that. I know he could if he wanted to. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's a pretty good start right there. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news, not the bad news, the good news of the kingdom of God, the new covenant, is being preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. So, yeah, we have to put up a little effort sometimes when the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We've got to get with the program and tell him where to go. Like Jesus did, he didn't just sit back and say, I'm the Son of God. He said, it is written. How did he know it's written? He had to learn it. He was a human being operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He was 100% God, 100% man. His spirit was 100% God, but his body was 100% human because he's born of a woman. When you're born of a woman, you're human. Not a monkey. Can you say amen? Jesus was advancing the new covenant, and he still is today, and that's why he's got me preaching this. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. That's why at funerals I tell people what it's like to die. When you die, you step out of your body into the presence of God if you're a born-again believer. Death is nothing to fear. You step out of your body into the presence of God because you're a spirit in a body like Jesus Christ was a spirit in a body. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. If he really is the resurrection, then he has the power to even raise us from the dead right now if we die. If he should choose. Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus that their brother Lazarus was sick. They were great friends. I mean, Jesus had close friends on this earth other than the apostles. That's why you need to have some close friends. And if you want close friends, we got a picnic and some stuff coming up, fellowship dinners. You need to get your shy self over here. Okay. And try to make a friend, at least one. John 11:4, when he heard this, Jesus heard this, Jesus said his sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. You see, sickness brings glory to God when it's healed. In this case, this man had died. There's a good godly man, and Jesus said his time is not up. And the Bible, Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's possible for us to let the devil shorten our life by believing all the wrong stuff. I really believe I've been dead a long time ago if I believed what some preachers are preaching in this town right now. Well, that's just God's will. Just lay back and let the devil kill you. I'm no country boy. I don't like that kind of talk anyway. I don't lay back and let anything happen. I'm going to be out in the cutting edge trying to make something happen. But you got more a chance of making things happen when you're doing it by the Holy Spirit, standing on the promises of God. That's the way you make things happen now, believing the Word of God and acting on the Word of God. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, verse 5, that's Scripture. Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus, verse 6. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. You see, he was setting it up to work an even greater miracle. If God doesn't work the miracle right now, you want him to work. He may be setting it up for an even greater miracle. That's a word from God to somebody. I do my prophesying and counseling through preaching, so pay attention. Verse 14, so then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. That's a shocker. They thought he was just sick. Verse 15, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there. God didn't always do things on my timetable the way I tell him to do it. Very often he's working on something bigger than my mind could comprehend. Who in that day could comprehend Jesus raising someone from literally from the dead? And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Now, Lazarus was one of Jesus' best friends. His family was one of his best friends. Jesus saw this, he saw it not as a defeat or as a failure, but as an opportunity to work a miracle for them even greater than they could imagine. Jesus delayed answering their prayers because he had something bigger in mind. And sometimes I'm praying and praying and I wonder what's going on. And sometimes, as in the case of Daniel, you got demons fighting to stop the angel that's on his way to you. And sometimes it's just God saying, be patient and wait. And my favorite thing not to do is to be patient and wait. Now, if I'm going to a restaurant, I send Dottie in to see how long the line is. She comes back out and says, it's 20 minutes. I said, get back in. We're going. An hour later, I'm still looking for a short line. When Jesus finally got there, Martha met Jesus first. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Can you believe that? You say, well, the doctor says I'm dying. But what does Jesus say? He's the resurrection and the life. He can raise you up. He can add another 15 years. Amen. Or even more. I am the resurrection and the life. Is this helping anybody? Amen. Now, we're talking about what Jesus did. We're taking a look at Jesus' purpose. Amen. And his mission. Everybody talks about, well, you got to have a mission. You got to have a vision. What was Jesus' mission and vision? Helping people. Amen. He came to seek and to save the lost, but on the way he helped everybody he could that would believe in him. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. That's good news. And verse 26, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He said. And Martha said, yes, Lord. She told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. You see, Jesus told Peter he could believe that he was the Son of God because that the Father had given him a revelation. Jesus said, who do you say I am? And Peter stepped up and he says, you are the Son of you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And the reason you believe in Jesus Christ in your heart today is because it was revealed to you. You just didn't get smart one day. And so I'm going to believe in God and I'm going to be saved. No, the Holy Spirit led you and guided you and sometimes drug you. Can you say amen? And drop that notes of revelation in you that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. But at some point, you had to say, yes, I believe it. Amen. Jesus told Peter he could believe because he had a revelation. And you wouldn't be saved if you didn't have that revelation. He said, well, I wouldn't put my trust in feelings. It's not a feeling. It's a revelation. It's a know-so inside of you that Jesus Christ is alive and well. He says, well, I feel saved. You don't really feel saved. You know you're saved. You don't feel it with your five senses. It bypasses your senses. Amen. And goes straight for that inner spiritual man. You see, this takes a personal revelation. And you can get a personal revelation that you're healed. And until you get that, you keep doing what you need to do to take care of yourself. Amen. Isn't that a balance? Everything in the Word of God is a balance if you get in there and spend a little time and learn it. When we believe he is the Son of God, suddenly it takes the limits off. I can do anything he can do because I'm serving him. If he tells me to walk on water, I can walk on water. And I've been practicing in our new swimming pool, but it's not working yet. People say, have you been in that pool? I said, no, but I've walked across it a couple of times. All things become possible in his name. You need to practice it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Satan, you hear me? In the name of Jesus. Well, Alice Faust has got the best testimony on that I've ever heard in my life. I don't have time to tell it now, but one, I've been asking her to get up and tell her how powerful the name of Jesus has been in her life. He is the Son of God. Suddenly, it takes the limit off when we really believe that and speak it. He is the Son of the living, eternal God, and he's my Savior. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Okay. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. When, in John chapter 11, verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, this is Martha's sister, Lazarus' sister, Mary. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's the kind of faith they had in the healer. Now they're about to have their faith is about to go to a whole new level. They believed that Jesus could and would heal, but their faith was about, as I just said, to go to a whole new level. When Jesus saw her weeping, verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. He knew he was going to raise him from the dead, but because they were hurting, he was hurting. That's who Jesus is. Well, Lord, put this on me to teach me something. No, the devil put it on you. Jesus wants to take it off. Well, I caused it. Well, he let him ask him to forgive you first. Okay. And then asked him to work the miracle you need. You see, this revealed the loving heart of God. Jesus was hurting because they were hurting. Verse 35, I was told as a little boy, this is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. And it's probably the most important because it shows you the heart of God. I saw a vision of Jesus Christ crying years ago. I saw a vision. I know what I saw. And in my mind, I said, why are you crying? And he answered my thought. He knows what you're thinking. And he said, because I have provided all these things for my people, and they will not believe me for them. Think of that. That we break the heart of God when we do not believe. And of course, he said it to me. So I guess I needed it. Jesus wept, verse 36. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? He loves all of us. He knew he was going to raise him from the dead. He was hurting because they were hurting. Then they came to the tomb, verse 39. Take away the stone, he said. I mean, if you believe for a miracle, you need to start acting like you believe it. You need to start acting on the word. Move the stone. Get things out of the way. Start getting ready. Verse 39, take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Nothing's too hard for God. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? I'm believing to see the glory of God. What are you believing for? If we believe in him, we can see the glory of God through miracles. Because they believed, he worked a miracle they could not have dreamed possible. Verse 43, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Verse 44, the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen, and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Okay. My question is, how did he get out of there all tied up? Okay. Had to be angels. Can you say amen? If you believe, If we believe, we can see the glory of God. And boy, we have really seen a lot of miracles in this place. And I'm proclaiming we ain't seen nothing yet. And I meant to say ain't for you English people. I know good English, I just don't like it. It is not God's will to raise everyone from the dead until the end of time. Can you say amen? But at the same time, we can believe God for what we need as long as it's his will for us to live. Jesus said to a blind man, go, your faith has made you well. That's a powerful statement. Your faith has made you well. You well, faith in what? Faith in the Son of God and his word. If you meditate on the word of God, you can get healed just from meditating on the word of God. As a matter of fact, every time I've been healed, it's just been meditating on the word of God. His word is spirit and life, Jesus says. Mark chapter 10:47. Go, your faith has made you well. When Bartimaeus, heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David. That meant he knew he was the Messiah. And Jesus, the Christ, the Son of David, have mercy on me. You see, many were sternly telling him, verse 48, to be quiet. And a lot of times people are telling you to be quiet, and you don't need to be quiet. Amen. But he kept crying out all the more. He said, Jesus is here, and I'm going to get his attention. Son of David, have mercy on me. In verse 51, Jesus said, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, teacher, I want to regain my sight. In verse 52, and Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. He had the faith to be persistent. And you could call that prayer because he's talking to Jesus. Praying is just talking to Jesus. And he stayed faithful, stayed persistent until he got an answer. The answer was, go. Well, many times I've been praying for something, oh God, what am I supposed to do? And I hear him say, go. I got it. You're going to be okay. But you need to pray until you get that go. Yeah. Don't get out of that boat until you hear him say, come. Okay. Immediately he regained his sight. What made him well? Jesus said it was his faith. But he had to be persistent to get there. If he had shut up like they were trying to get him to, he wouldn't have got it. I know, say, well, what will be able to happen anyway. Well, that's really making the word of God a lie. Because this makes it very clear that the reason he got healed was because he was persistent. Don't make the word of God into a lie. Why did Jesus work this miracle? Matthew 21:18. Jesus was hungry and he saw a fig tree that had no fruit on it. Why did he work the miracle right here? Verse 19. And he said to it, no longer shall there ever be any fruit from you. Now I'm just showing you the miracles of Jesus Christ and show you how he used these miracles to teach us how to work miracles. Look at this. I preach it a lot. No longer shall there ever be any fruit from you. And at once the fig tree withered. Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you shall not only do what's been done to this fig tree, but if you say this mountain be taken up and cast into the sea, it'll be done. You got to have faith to wither up your problems. You say amen. And to walk on water. At once the fig tree withered. The disciples were amazed that the tree withered so quickly. And Jesus answered and said to them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you'll not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. And all things you seek in prayer, believing, you will receive. Jesus said, if you have a no-so faith, a no-so revelation, you can speak to this mountain, and it will move. And all things you ask for in faith, you will receive. You see, he went from working miracles to telling us how to work miracles. Speak to your mountains. Speak to your fig trees. Can you say amen that need new weather? And speak in faith, believing. So how can I do that? You pray until you get a revelation in you that you're speaking according to the will of God, and you can speak and it will happen. But as too many of us think we can really walk in victory and never open the Bible, it's not possible. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And you need to do both. You need to be in a good church where the word of God is preached, and you need to read it and preach it to yourself. Amen. You see, there was a spirit of strife in this church years ago. And if I didn't know I had authority, it would have destroyed this church. I came in one Sunday morning, and everybody I ran into had an attitude. This church is not that way. It never has been. And as long as I'm around, it's not going to be, because I'm taking authority over those demons of strife and rebellion. And I mean, I walk up to people, they'd been my best friend, and all of a sudden they were hateful and mean. I think, God, what is wrong with this place? I got in the pulpit and tried to pray. Couldn't pray. They're just stumbling and stuttering all over the place. And I went down the front row scratching my head. I said, what is wrong? And the Holy Spirit said, a spirit of strife in here. You got to get back up there and get it out. Amen. I walked back up to the pulpit. I think it was over there. And I said, folks, we got a problem. No, it's here. It's in this room. Of course, we've been here for 23 years. And so I said, there's a demon spirit coming to this place to wreck it. We're going to take authority over it. Everybody stood up. I said, you foul lying devil out of the pits of hell, I command you to get out of here. Don't you come back. That thing just left. After church, everybody said, well, when you did it, I felt something leave. Hey, you can do that for your family and your business. Amen. You need to know you can speak to mountains and demons. Amen. Well, I'm out of time. Peter and the disciples, it doesn't matter. Peter and the disciples fished all night and caught nothing. This is after the Lord's resurrection. John 21:4, listen fast. Can y'all listen fast? Put your iPhones down, listen fast. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. He had been raised from the dead. So Jesus said to them, children, you do not have any fish, do you? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch. So they cast, and when they were not able to haul it, because the great number of fish, then the disciples recognized it was Jesus, and Peter threw himself into the water and swam to Jesus. When he told them how to catch fish, and they caught fish, they knew who it was. He knows how to catch fish. He knows how to put food on your table. And you need to be talking to him every day. But the other disciples came in the little boat, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid, and fish placed on it, and bread. Jesus was cooking breakfast for his disciples. If you need food, he'll even come and cook it if he has to. That's what he did here. And this is after his resurrection. After he had a glorified body. And he still has that glorified body, and he can walk in here right now. Can you say amen? I pray to God he doesn't, because it scared most of us half to death. And Jesus provided fish for his disciples, even cooked for them. I'm just reading the Bible, verse 10. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. You see, he can provide all the food we need. Jesus worked that miracle for a reason. He needed more fish. He didn't have enough fish. Do you have enough fish? Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish. They even so impressed they counted them, 153. And they worked all night and couldn't catch a thing. Well, I've looked for a job and I can't find a job. I get some people praying about that. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now, I don't think most of you ladies want to be married to a guy that ate fish for breakfast, but Jesus ate fish for breakfast. Verse 13, Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. You see, Jesus provided bread and fish for his disciples. This is after he arose from the dead. Jesus is still alive, and he will care for his disciples today, just like he did then. But we must hear and obey his voice. Let's all stand.